The series, the study this month has been on the miracles of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus. And how many here tonight can stand some good news from the Word of God concerning the miracles of Jesus? Okay. I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is God the Son, and He is the miracle-working God. Amen? Amen. He's got something good in store for your life. And James writes in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. In other words, God is consistent. He is faithful. You can count on Him. He will always be there for you. He's got something good in store for your life. He is the author of good. Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me tonight. God is the author of good. In Jesus' name. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that God has got a miracle in store for your life. What is a miracle? A miracle is something that is out of the ordinary. It's extraordinary. It's something that human beings could never do. It's when somebody has an incurable disease that no doctor can cure, no doctor can take care of, but God is able to cure it miraculously. That's a miracle. A miracle is when you need money for a certain situation in your life and you have nowhere to get it from and somebody brings you money. That's a miracle of God. A miracle is something that is beyond the ordinary. Amen? Amen? Something extraordinary. Something that with your own human mind and your own human strength you could have never done, but God is able to do all things. Amen?
Amen.
God is the God who makes the impossibilities, the impossible, possible in our lives. Amen?
Amen?
All right, the text tonight is on Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. It's Mark chapter 10. Verses 46 through 52. Talking about a miracle in the life of a man named Bartimaeus. Okay, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. He was a beggar. He was poor. He was blind. And friend, tonight, you may feel like that beggar. You may feel like you're poor. You may feel like life has dealt you a really tough blow. You may feel like Bartimaeus this evening. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48 of Mark 10. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Verse 52, "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. That's an awesome historical account, isn't it? Of a blind man who received his sight. Blind Bartimaeus now. I want to make some observations about this account of blind Bartimaeus. Number one, he was a beggar. He was poor. He was begging by the roadside. All right? And you may feel like blind Bartimaeus tonight. You may feel disadvantaged in your life, financially, materially, transportation-wise, housing-wise, in some way. And now this, verse 47. Let's look at verse 47 of Mark chapter 10. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, it's interesting, in verse 47, he says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. What does this say to you and me? When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. To me, it says that he had some knowledge about Jesus of Nazareth. He knew that Jesus was the miracle-working God. He had knowledge about Jesus. Jesus was known. Would you agree? Because it says here, it says, when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, as if to say that he knew about Jesus. He had heard the reports about Jesus. He had heard that Jesus had healed others. He knew about him. And friend, you may know about Jesus tonight. You may know about the miracles that Jesus performed in the Scriptures. You may know about God from the Word. But you've got to know more than just about Jesus and more than just about God. You've got to have more than just knowledge, head knowledge, about God and Jesus. And that's what the blind beggar had. He had knowledge about Jesus. But there came a turning point in his life. The Jesus that he knew about was the Jesus that he was about to know intimately and personally. For Jesus, the miracle-working God, was about to step on the scene and enter this man's presence. Let me say it again. The Jesus he knew about was the Jesus he was about to know intimately and personally. How's that? You go to verse 50 and 51. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. You see, he had known about Jesus. He knew about the miracles Jesus performed, but now he was in the presence of Jesus personally. He had come to know Jesus. Verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. Relationship is developing here. Jesus is communicating with him. And the blind man responds, Rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. And immediately his sight was restored. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, you've got to know more than just about Jesus. You've got to know Jesus intimately and personally to receive your miracle. It's one thing to have head knowledge. It's another thing to know him relationally. Amen? How do you get to know God relationally? How do you get to know Jesus in a deeper way? Studying the Word, that's right. Praying to God on a consistent basis. Talking to God, talking to Jesus as you would talk to your best friend. Knowing that God, knowing that Jesus has your best interests at hand. Do you want a miracle? Do you need a miracle in your life tonight? Well, friends, you've got to know Jesus personally. You've got to know him intimately. You've got to know more than just about him. It says in James that the demons know that there is a God. They have knowledge about God, and they tremble. But that doesn't mean that the demons intimately know him, right? I'm not trying to say that we're demons. But the demons know about him, but they don't know him. See, friends, we need to know him on a personal level. And it's when you get to know him on a personal level that he wants to break through and do a miracle in your life. You see, the miracle, the breakthrough is on the threshold. It's hanging in the balance for your life. Your setback is about to become a comeback in the name of Jesus, but he wants you to seek him consistently. What does it say in Hebrews 11:6? But without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and is a rewarder of those who once in a while seek him. Those who diligently seek relationship with him. Amen? He is a rewarder of those who know more than just about him. He is a rewarder of those that know him intimately, that have faith in him, that talk with him in prayer like they would talk with their best friend. Amen? Amen. And that's the level God is wanting all of us to come to. I'm not there fully yet, but I'm preaching to myself tonight. You know, I'm getting to know God better on a more intimate level, closer in my walk, in my relationship with him. And it should be the same with you. Amen? Amen? Now, another observation about the blind beggar. He had faith. How many would agree that he had faith? He had faith. What is faith? What is faith? I said this before, but faith is a knowing that you know that you know deep down on the inside that the God who promised you a miracle, the good thing in your life, is able to do it for you. Let me say it again. Faith is this. It's a knowing that you know in your knower that God can bring about that miracle in your life without doubting his power, his goodness, for even a moment. You see, when doubt and fear enter in your walk with God, it's no longer faith. You're operating in fear. And God does not honor fear. He does not bless fear. God honors what? He honors faith. He honors reliance. He honors trust in him. Is that making sense today? Let me read you a little something that I was researching here about faith. Faith does not only exclude the thought of merit, it actually includes the idea of helplessness. In faith, one depends on another to do what a person is unable to do for himself. If a child is ill and the child's parents call a doctor, they are confessing their own inability to deal with the illness and are expressing their confidence in the doctor. There is no merit in calling the doctor. Their faith in the doctor merely gives him the opportunity to work. Say it again. If a child is ill and the child's parents call a doctor, they are confessing their own inability to deal with the illness and are expressing their confidence in the doctor. Who is our spiritual doctor? Jesus, God the Father. And that's what he wants. He wants us to express our confidence in him, that he's able to do the miracle in our lives, that he's able to bring about that physical healing in your life that you need today, that he's able to bring about that reconciliation in a broken relationship that you are needing today. Amen? Amen. He is the master physician that we serve. Is that making sense? So this blind man, he had faith. He had a doubtless faith. Would you agree? As we read the parable, as we read the account in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, he was excited when he heard about Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's like he knew in faith that he knew that he knew that if he got close to Jesus and communicated with Jesus and got to talk to Jesus, that he would be healed. He had doubtless faith. Jesus, Son of David, I know that you're able to heal me. He had doubtless faith. Would you agree? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He had something else concerning his faith. What was it? He had something else concerning his faith. Blind Bartimaeus, what did he have? He had a doubtless faith and he had a what now? Anybody else? Doubtless faith, and he had a persistent faith. He had the attitude of a no-quitting belief and trust in God. Why is that? Why would you say that this blind beggar had a persistent and die-hard faith? Why was that?
He never gave up.
He never gave up. Exactly. Read in Mark chapter 10. He began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 47. Verse 48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. They're like, you're crazy. Keep your mouth shut. Leave him alone. But as they told him to keep it quiet, he shouted all the more. He began to shout more and more, louder and louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It didn't matter what people were saying around him. He had a persistent faith. It didn't matter that people were telling him to be quiet and shut up. He kept on crying out the name of Jesus. He had a diehard faith, a persistent faith, a non-quitting faith, trust, and belief in Jesus that Jesus could heal him. Friend, I'm here to ask you today, what kind of faith do you have in God? What kind of faith do you have in Jesus? What are others around you telling you to do? Oh, stop believing God. It's never going to happen in your life. Are you kidding me? That financial miracle you've been believing for? You're believing for that car? It ain't going to happen in your life. Stop asking God. That healing is not going to occur in your life. Tell the naysayers to just be quiet. And don't even concentrate or focus on what the naysayers are saying. As they tell you to lessen your faith in God, as they tell you that it's not going to happen for you, keep strengthening your faith in God and saying, you know what? I don't care what you say. The God that I serve is the God that turns the impossible into the possible for my life. Amen? So when somebody tells you to be quiet, God is not going to do it for you. You tell them, shut up in Jesus' name. I agree with the word of God. God promised me this miracle, and it is going to happen in my life. Amen? That's a persistent, non-quitting faith like the blind beggar had. Don't worry about what the naysayers are saying. Don't worry about what the media is saying. Don't worry about what the doubters keep telling you. Just keep your faith strong in God. and God will honor that persistent faith. Amen? And you've heard me tell it before, but Abraham in the Old Testament, he had what kind of faith? He had what kind of faith? Absolute, strong, die-hard faith. Amen? I mean, God promised him when he was 75 years old. He said, Abraham, I am going to make you into a great nation. Your offspring will be like the grains of sand on the seashore. That's a lot of offspring, wouldn't you say? Because you pick up a handful of sand and there's thousands and thousands of grains in that handful of sand, right? God said, your offspring will be like the grains of sand on the seashore. Look at the stars in the heavens. That's what your offspring is going to be like. 75 years old when God promised him that he would make him into a great nation. How old was Abraham when he received that promise? How old? He was 100 years old. He was 100 years old. What's 100 minus 75? What's 100 minus 75? 25. That means that Abraham believed God how long? 1 month? 10 months? 5 years? No, what's 100 minus 75? 25 years believing God for the good thing God had promised him to make him into a great nation. 25 years without wavering in his faith. Romans chapter 4. How many know about Romans chapter 4 where Paul writes about Abraham, one of our forefathers? Romans chapter 4. Listen to what it says. Verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet, here's the key, guys, and the key for us. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. What does it say? He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, don't waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God concerning that good thing he wants to give you. He was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Are you fully persuaded that God has the power, the almighty power, to do in your life the thing he has promised you that he will do? Are you fully persuaded? If you are, say yes tonight. Say amen tonight. I am fully persuaded that God has the power to do the good thing that he has promised for me. In Jesus' name, amen. He believed God 25 years. It was a persistent faith, like the blind beggar in Mark chapter 10. And you've been believing God for a year for that physical healing. Maybe you've been believing God for a year and a half, or 2 years, 3 years, and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm getting tired of my faith. I'm getting weak. I can't take it anymore. God, when are you going to break through in my situation? Friends, he's got the miracle in his hand. When the going gets tough, the toughened God by faith, get going. I'm here to encourage you tonight. When the going gets tough, the toughened God by faith, get going. They keep on believing. Keep on keeping on believing in God. Amen? Be like the Energizer Bunny. What does it do? What does it do? We've all seen the commercial. The Energizer Bunny. What does it do? It keeps going and going and going and does not quit. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, keep on going and going and going with your faith in God and do not quit, because your miracle is hanging in the balance. The enemy, the devil, would want to see you give up and lose out on the good thing that God has for your life. But don't let him win. Just keep on believing God, because God will do it for you. If he did it 2,000 years ago, if he did it thousands of years ago for others, he's going to do it for us. What does the Word of God say about Jesus in Hebrews 13? It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he never changes. The Jesus who performed miracles thousands of years ago is the same Jesus with us tonight. He is the same Jesus who lives with you by the Holy Spirit. And if he did it 2,000 years ago and he doesn't change, that means he wants to do it in your life today. Amen?
Amen.
Just don't give up in believing God. Keep on keeping on with your faith. Amen? You might be wondering tonight, is God willing to heal me physically? Is God willing to heal you physically? There's so much I can preach on this, but we're limited by time. Matthew chapter 8, one last scripture. Matthew chapter 8. The leper who came to Jesus. Verses 1 through 4. Matthew 8, 1 through 4. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." He asked Jesus, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And what did Jesus respond? What did he say to the leper? He said what?
I am willing
to make you clean. I am willing to heal your sick body. We serve the same Jesus. Amen? That means he is willing to heal us. What is he looking for? What does God honor? He's looking for faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. God is pleased with faith. That's what he's looking for. Amen? And he's willing and he's able and he has got the power to do it in your life. And you've got to do some things in the natural as well with your faith. Would you agree? You've got to do some things in the natural. You've maybe got to get on a different diet plan, exercise plan, get off the cigarettes, off the alcohol, off the drugs, to receive that physical healing in your life. Amen?
Amen.